You don't need to stand, but we'll read our text again. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance," which we studied last time, "and to temperance patience." So tonight we'll be talking about patience. Amen. You picked a good night to come. It's all of our favorite subject, right? Now, we need these things, church. We need everything that Peter just said. And he goes on, he says, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And we need these because they cause us to be fruitful. Look at verse 8. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it'll give you a confidence in your walk with God. It'll give you a confidence in the doctrines of God. Look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sin. So if you don't grow in the way that God wants you to grow, then you'll have doubts in your life. You'll doubt your salvation. So, you know, in the end, we've decided to title this lesson series, Overcoming Doubts. This is part 5 of that series. Also, to be more specific to the things we're doing with this process, adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience tonight, it's getting back in God's pattern for spiritual growth. And so what will make you fruitful and what will take away the doubts of your salvation and your walk with God is having a walk with God, is growing in your faith, growing in your walk. If you don't do that, then doubts will make their way in. It'll make you ineffective for God. It'll be there. And so we need that. We need to grow through God's pattern of spiritual growth. Now, to be a little bit more specific in our study tonight with patience, I'll give you a couple titles for that, for those of you who write these things down. Title number 1 is, "When Trials Come, Respond with Faithfulness." So that'll be a title that we'll be talking about tonight. When trials come, respond with faithfulness. Another title is, "When the going gets tough, be faithful." When the going gets tough, be faithful. So let's have prayer together and we'll get launched into this. Father, one more time we pray your blessings tonight on the word. I pray you'd help our hearts to be open, and that God, you'd give us confidence, that it would be a spiritual confidence that comes from the Holy Spirit and the teaching and preaching. And then, Lord, I pray that there'd be a spiritual the Spirit of God in this place, working in the hearts of your people, that they would open their hearts, God, that they wouldn't be distracted through their mind or the cares of this life, or perhaps a child or something around them that distracts them. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to remain focused. I pray you'd help me to do a good job in my teaching and preaching tonight. I pray that you would bless this church, God, that we would get a firm grasp on this great, important truth. And Lord, through that, Lord, it would inspire us, it would change us, it would encourage us to be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, we're going to be talking about patience, and that's something we all need. We all desperately need a heavy dose of that. So, to give you an example of sometimes when we're tempted in regards to not being patient, you know, I have 4 children, so I have lots of illustrations, okay? And they're all 10 and younger, and they're all boys. I mean, maybe it's different for girls. I don't know. But with boys, there's lots. So the other day, this has been recent, I got dressed with my dress shirt on. I didn't have a tie on, but it was just a meeting that I had. So I had my slacks and my dress shirt. It's my favorite dress shirt. Okay? It's not this one. It's the other one that was my favorite dress shirt. And that tells you a little bit about how this story is going to go. So I'm making food for my children, because that's one of the things about having 4 boys is it doesn't matter what time of day it is. They're always hungry. And so I'm making food. And at this time, because I'm also in a hurry and I'm a man and I'm dad, and you just fill in the blanks, I'm microwaving hot dogs. Okay? So it's fast and it gets the job done. You know, don't judge me. It's just how it is. So the hot dogs are in there. And I grab the buns, and I put the hot dog in the bun, and it's like boom, we are done. Less than a minute, we have food. So my children are picky, you know, and I don't want to go on and rub on my children, but they're picky, okay? I wasn't like them when I was a kid. I would eat stuff, you know, whatever. But anyway, they're like, Dad, will you cut it in half? You know, Mom cuts it in half. Okay, but I'm in a hurry. So here's what I did. I took the hot dog and I just broke it in half. But I broke it towards me. And it was like a, you know, like when you spray a water bottle, it was just like a spray of grease that just sprayed all over my shirt. And I'm just, after that happens, you're holding two pieces of a hot dog. And you're just standing there. You're trying to decide how you're going to react to this. You're like, I know, you know, so somebody who's patient, what do? Well, they don't get angry, right? And they say something like this, God knows, doesn't he? He knows. I don't know why this just happened, but God does. So we put the hot dogs down, we go change the shirt and throw it in the trash, and it's no longer our favorite shirt. So that happened a couple weeks ago, and maybe I was patient, but in my heart, I felt like I needed to repent later. So that's how that went. Patience also, you know, is demonstrated when you're traveling with four children, long distance, hours on the road. And without fail, you're going to hear, I'm hungry 8 million times. And you're also going to hear, when are we going to be there? That's going to be less than the I'm hungry, but when are we going to be there? Now, on the dad or mom, mostly mom gets that because dad doesn't even respond anymore. I just don't even say anything. Because here's why. Because it doesn't matter what you say. Are we almost there? Yes. They're going to ask you in 10 minutes again anyway. Whether you say yes or no. No, we're not almost there. 10 minutes, they're going to ask again. So patience manifests itself when you're a parent or when you're a coworker, or when you're the boss at work, or whenever you have siblings. You know, we need to be patient. We need to be, you know, and there needs to be a level of endurance there in our relationships with each other, whether it's in our families or at church. We need to have patience. But whenever Peter says patience here, and he adds it to a marvelous list of, you know, processes or things that we need to add to our life to help us to grow in our walk with God. And he says patience. We're talking about an endurance that goes beyond just irritation or something that went bad in your day. And we're talking about a patience that comes along into a life of a believer who has already expanded their growth in their life with God from faith to virtue. And let's remember what this process is. Faith is salvation, and there's no spiritual growth in your life until you get saved first. And then it moves to virtue. And remember, when you get saved, you automatically make changes in your walk with God. It just, some changes happen because you got saved. Let's just face that reality. But it doesn't mean other changes don't need to take place. And so God teaches us and we grow and we make changes. That's virtue. It's always happening in our life. We go forward, sometimes we go backwards, we make changes in life, sometimes we go back on those changes. This is a process of us gaining virtue in life. From virtue, it's to knowledge. Knowledge is, we're able to learn and grow in respect to our obedience to God because, you know, our mind isn't clouded with the world as much, you know? I mean, the less world we have, the more open our heart is to the things of God. That just makes sense, right? I mean, you know why sometimes it's hard for people to listen in church? And I'm not pointing fingers in here, I'm just saying. It's hard to listen in church because your mind is on so many other worldly things. And the more of the world you get in you, the harder it is to comprehend and understand the things of God. You know, like we read our Bibles, and I'm so proud of y'all for reading your Bibles. Some of you read and you didn't lift your hand, you just don't want to say anything. That's okay. I'm proud of you for reading, and we need to read our Bibles. But sometimes the reason we don't comprehend, you know, unless you're in Leviticus, you know, you just got to have a master's degree to understand that, I think sometimes. But and we tease about that. But sometimes we don't comprehend the Bible is because we're too worldly. We have too much of the world in us, and we can't focus our minds enough on the things of God to allow the Spirit of God to work in us. We've got so many other things in the world that we're focused on. We got so much of the wrong music going on in our minds that we're thinking about the, you know, we've got all that going on in the wrong kind of entertainment, just generally speaking, going on in our minds that we can't understand the scriptures because there's so much world in there, you see? And so virtue, getting more virtue in our life opens up our ability to have more knowledge in life. Knowledge isn't just a sort of an intellectual comprehension, is it? It's an obedience. It's a hearing of the word and a doing of the word. It's knowing what God wants you to do and then doing it. That's wisdom. And so that part of the process is taking place. And so wisdom then, therefore, leads you into something that's more necessary or becomes necessary, temperance. We studied last time. You're learning, you're growing, you're applying, you're being obedient to God, and now you need to be temperate in it. You need to be faithful to it. You need to stick to it, right? Now, let's say you've done that. Let's say you've engaged in this process through salvation, through virtue, and a lot of these things just happen naturally when you love God. The more you love God, the more this thing just happens. And you have knowledge and you're growing in your knowledge and wisdom. You're adding the biblical knowledge and wisdom to your life. And now you want to stick to it. You don't want to give up. You don't want to throw in the towel. You want to stick to it. And so you're adding temperance to your life by being obedient to God's will because you know God's will. You've identified God's will, you know what God wants you to do, and that's helped you to stay on track. Now, let's say that's where you are. What is the next natural thing that we're going to have to deal with in our Christian life? Well, let's face the reality. Jesus told us that when we live for Him as a disciple of Christ, we will face what? Persecution and trials and suffering. Jesus said it was going to come. You are faithful to me, you're obedient to me, Jesus says, then you will have trials and persecutions and sufferings in life. And so, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful in my walk with God, I will face persecutions and sufferings for my faith. So, in understanding that this is going to be a part of this process, now it makes sense why God would say, you need to have patience. Patience is endurance in the face of suffering. Patience is sticking in there whenever you just want to throw in the towel, right? Somebody who's saved and who's growing in their virtue, gaining wisdom, living a disciplined Christian life in obedience to God's word, they will have blessings and they will have sufferings. They'll have persecutions. Consider the early Christians, the people that Peter was writing to. Go to chapter 4 of 1 Peter, just go back a page. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look what he says in verse number 12. Are you there in 1 Peter? You just go one page back. Verse 12. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." What's he saying? He says, you're growing in your faith, you're making your life, your walk with God, a consistent walk of obedience to God because you know what God wants you to do. He says, don't think it's strange when you face trials. Look at verse 13. "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Verse 14. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." So here we see that Peter has already explained to these Christians that as you stand for Christ, you're going to suffer a level of persecution in life just because you're a Christian. So it's going to come. Look at Acts 12. And so you can lose your place in 2 Peter because I think we've got the concept, patience, right? We'll just come back to that idea of patience. Go to Acts chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 1 when you get there. Who's the author of 2 Peter? Well, that would be Peter. Did Peter understand trials and sufferings? Yeah. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 12. Now about Acts chapter 12. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. He killed James the brother of John with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Look at verse number 4. We'll read through verse 5. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing to the church and to God for him. So Peter was arrested. You know what his crime was? Preaching the gospel. He got thrown in prison because he preached the gospel. They hated him. And the king put him in jail because he saw that it pleased the Jews. So now he's sitting in prison. James has already had his head chopped off. And now Peter looks at that he is the next one the next day. Why wouldn't the king have had Peter go through the same trial and the same execution? He wouldn't. It would be the case that Peter, would have this execution take place the next morning. And so Peter is there. The church was praying for him. The Bible says that the angel visited. Guys, stop talking. The angels visited him in the evening, kicked him in the side because he was peacefully sleeping, having the total peace of God, and God delivered him out of the prison. It's an amazing story. But Peter understood sufferings. If you go back to Acts chapter 5, then Peter was preaching. Don't turn there. But Peter was preaching the gospel, and he was preaching to a government that rejected the message of Jesus Christ and says, "You got to stop preaching this message." And you know what Peter said? He said, I must obey God rather than men. That was his response to the government who said, stop preaching. I have to obey God rather than men. Guess what happened? They threw him in jail. He went through a trial. Gamaliel got involved with this trial. They released him. Oh, but before they released him, you remember what they did? They beat them. All the apostles, and Peter included. So Peter understood persecutions. Peter understood what it was necessary to go through in the midst of a trial and a persecution and a beating. Many of you know how Peter died. Many believe, and I believe, that this is Peter's last testament. But after he would have written the book of 2 Peter, he would have died himself. Why did he die? For Christ. How did he die? He was nailed to a cross. But before he was nailed to a cross, his wife was nailed to a cross. He had to watch her suffer and die before his eyes. And it said that Peter said to his wife, as she suffered on the cross before his eyes, he said to her, "Remember the Lord." And she died. And then while they were nailing him to a cross, Peter himself, he says, "I'm not worthy to die like my Lord." And he asked them to nail him to the cross upside down. And that's how Peter died. He suffered. He understood suffering, didn't he? He told the church who themselves would suffer. And in the time of the book of 2 Peter, they would have understood suffering. And so patience would be something that they needed in their life. They would have needed patience. And if there's anybody who could teach about patience, that's the faithfulness in the midst, in the center of a trial or in the middle of a suffering circumstance. It would be Peter who would understand this. And so he said to them, add to your knowledge temperance. But add to your temperance patience, meaning the trials are going to come. But you've got to learn to be faithful. You've got to learn to be steadfast, which is what patience means. It means steadfast, constant. Being constant, a man who is not swerved by the greatest trials and sufferings. This would be the spirit of the Christians who would bear things, who they knew what their ultimate goal was, but they would bear these things in the midst of this trials and sufferings. One author said it this way, patience has been called courage. I think that's good, don't you? Patience has been called courage. And so it's standing whenever it's hard to stand. Peter would have been asking them to consider their need of steadfastness because trials and sufferings would come. The discipline they would need to have established and would have established in their obedience to God would have created momentum in their Christian life. But you know, church, it's not all mountaintops, is it? We don't just live in the mountains. And this sort of euphoric feeling all the time. No, we are at many times, it's soon after the mountaintops, we're in the valleys. And we're going through the suffering and we're going through the trials and it gets hard. And this is what Peter would be speaking to. That consistent walk with God would guarantee that if you're following Christ, you would suffer persecutions. Christ himself said that it would happen in John 16:33. Listen to what it says. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, but in the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, church, in Matthew chapter 5, he said the same thing. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He goes on and on about persecution. To me, it speaks to the reality of this trials and sufferings and persecutions in our Christian life as we grow in our momentum with God. It speaks to the facts that it will happen and that we shouldn't be surprised whenever trials and sufferings happen in our life as we make decisions for God, as we move forward with Him. And I tell you, this is a common struggle that new believers have. When I got saved, and that should mean I should not have troubles anymore. But in fact, the opposite is true. That because we get saved, we're going to suffer troubles. Because we're walking with God, we're going to suffer persecutions because of our faith. And listen, there's many who have suffered this kind of trial and struggle and have turned away from their walk with God because of it. They've made a decision for God, and because it got too hard, they said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. And they would go away from the things of God. And we have countless personal testimonies of that happening, of people who've received Christ and went away from God. And also we have countless biblical testimonies of guys in the Bible. We've seen them come to God, and then we've seen them turn away from God. An example of that could be in Acts chapter 13. Don't turn there, but we see the calling of Barnabas and Saul to be missionaries, and they get their team together and they go out to spread the gospel, and they leave Antioch and they make it to the coast of Phoenicia, and they go across the Mediterranean Sea and they make it to Cyprus, and it's a 110-mile journey across the island, and they're trekking, preaching the gospel every step of the way, because that's what missionaries do. And they get across to Paphos, and when they get to Paphos, the governor gets saved. And I'm telling you what, that's awesome whenever a governor gets saved. Wouldn't you agree with that? So they're experiencing a touch of heaven, a touch of revival. I'm telling you, this is mountain top. Their team, it consists of Barnabas, Saul, and a guy named John Mark. They get in the ship. They're going to make their journey across Paphos to the coast, on the northern coast, across from where Caesarea is. They get to the coast, and they're going to cross over to Antioch of Pisidia, which is north through the Taurus Mountains. Now, here's something amazing happens as they're on the coast. They're planning, no doubt, their journey across the Taurus Mountains to Antioch of Pisidia, which is right where they're going in Acts chapter 13. And something happens in the mind of John Mark. He says, I'm out. Do we know why he's out? No. But he said, I'm out. And he went back to Jerusalem. From the coast, here's what he said. I'm not going to Antioch of Pisidia. Why? And there's a lot of speculation. The Taurus Mountains are dangerous. Maybe he was scared about the journey through the Taurus Mountains, who Alexander the Great himself said that it was the hardest of all of his conquest. The Taurus Mountains. It was a mountain range that was riddled with caves where the robbers and those that lived in the caves would come out, with travelers who were isolated between the mountains would be ripe for the pillaging. And they would make their ways out of the mountains and pillage anyone who came through. No wonder Paul, in his journeys later on in the book of Corinthians, says, many times beaten. Could have been that happened in the Taurus Mountains. And here's what John Mark said, no thank you. And he left. So people suffer. Christians face the suffering. And many times, just like John Mark, they say, I can't do this anymore. I'm not interested. It's just too hard. And so they quit. Peter here is wanting to encourage the Christians to have patience, which would be a part of their spiritual growth, indicating that they would need to understand that the trials are coming. There's no secret about this. Not like Jesus, he was like, you know, teaching, and get saved, it's awesome, and turn your heart to the Lord, and it's awesome. Oh, you'll suffer persecution. It's not like he's secretive about it. He told them up front, you follow me and you will suffer. And the implication there is if you're not suffering some kind of a trial in your Christian life, that either something's wrong and you're not growing like you should, or B, it's just not here yet, and it's going to come. But one way or another, we know that we need that temperance and we need this process. But listen, friends, we need patience, that constancy in the midst of the suffering. We need that endurance, which is an internal endurance. It's a decision that we've made earlier, before the trial ever came. I'm going to stick to this. Listen, remember Moses? We talked about Moses, and you mentioned it in your testimony. Moses last Sunday night about him leading Jethro to the Lord. What did he say to Jethro? Do you remember? Let me read to you again. Don't turn there. Exodus chapter 18. Listen to what he said. Moses told his father-in-law in all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh. Listen, this is good. To the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And so here's what Moses said to Jethro. There's no secret about this. God delivered them from bondage, and then they suffered travail. And then God delivered them again. And so, listen, there's no secret. This is before Jethro got saved. Get saved, get delivered, go through travail, get delivered again. I mean, God is never going to leave us, but he doesn't make it a secret that we're going to suffer. So we need that patience. Yeah. I was doing some reading about Navy SEALs, and maybe some of you have heard about Navy SEAL. It's the elite forces, and so they have very extensive training that they go through. And I was reading about it because I was interested to know about the percentage of those that make it through the training completely. And it's a very low percentage of people that actually make it through the training. Very low percentage. And so one Navy SEAL said it this way. He said, Navy SEAL, or rather, he was a graduate of the Navy SEAL training. He says, guys don't quit at the doorway to the chow hall. Most of the quitters emerge the night after getting cold in the surf. Because they have to do that more than once. He says, going back to the surf one more time just was too much, and they ring the bell. They're out. Yeah. Trials and sufferings come into a Christian's life, and it causes them to get their eye off of the goal. It causes them to forget why they're in this world and what our purposes in this life for God are. Because our focus is wrong, and we've started looking at the trials and the persecutions of our faith, and we see quitting as a viable option. We see going back on some of the decisions that we've made along the way a viable option, and not sticking to it as something that we would really consider because this is just too hard. And so confusion is there, and the questions come, if I'm living for God, why is this happening to me, right? And so through this confusion of why the sufferings and the trials come into our life, there have been many who have turned away from what they know is right. Now, let me categorize this in a way that I think all of us would be able to fit into this, okay? Now, I'm in the midst of a people, for the most part, that are not going to quit completely on God. I think I'm pretty safe to say that. That you've made a decision for God, you've turned your heart to Him, and you're not going to turn away from God completely. However, there could be along the way decisions we've made for God, in a step in the direction God wants us to go, as we're adding virtue, as we're adding knowledge, obedience to God's word, and as we're adding temperance, which is a faithfulness to that obedience to God's word, that when the sufferings come, we might say, you know what, I know I'm saved, I'm not going to quit church, but I'm not going to do as much as I did. And we'll go back on some things we know God wants us to do. And I think we could all fit there. But it's not a whole lot different than what John Mark did whenever he says, listen, I'm out. This is a little bit more than I wanted. This is a little bit more than I expected. And I don't think I'm ready for this. And we need patience. Yeah. We need patience. Steady endurance in the face of a trial. Now we're going to close in Revelation. So go to Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. Paul here is written letters to the churches, one of them being Ephesus. And so this would be the letter that Paul wrote to Ephesus. And it's really a powerful letter, especially initially. He's doing some correcting, but look at what he says to the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Look at verse 2. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy what? Patience." That's our word, church. "How thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." So he wrote this letter back to Ephesus, and he is commending them. Paul, the pastor of the church, and Timothy, who also probably at this time is the pastor of the church, and he's writing back and he's saying, "I know your works." Oh, that's such a great statement. As God looks at a church who is enduring in the midst of the trials and the fiery furnaces of life, and he's saying, "I know your works. I know your labors. I know what you're about. I know that you're working and you're sweating and you're toiling and you're busy and aggressive and you're active and you're teaching and you're sharing and you're giving and you're planning and you're working and you're doing all of these things." I mean, this is a dynamic situation that Paul is writing to. And he says, "I know your patience. I know your courage," he says. Now look at verse 3. "And hast borne and hast patience." Why? You read it, church. Why? "For what? My name's sake. Hast labored and hast not fainted." They were aggressive. They were active. They persevered. They endured. They were self-sacrificing. And it was all for the glory of God. Yeah. We need discipline in our church. We need discipline in our personal lives. We need to be disciplined in our walk with God. But listen, there's something that we're going to have to go ahead and decide even now before they come, before the trials and the sufferings come. We're going to have to decide now. You're going to need to make a decision now before it ever comes. And that is this, that you're going to endure them with patience. What does that mean? Faithful. Be faithful. So, you're growing, and you're learning, and you're loving. But then it comes, and it gets kind of hard. But when you have patience, you faithfully endure. You stick in there. And you say, "You know, I'm going to traverse through the Taurus Mountains for Christ." And you say, "Well, that's hard." It is hard. We might get beaten, likely. I'm not going to throw in the towel. Are you? We're going to traverse. We're going to do it together. We're going to understand internally. It's not always easy. Sometimes we face trials. Sometimes it's hard. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to go through this thing. I'm going to stick in there. I'm going to endure. I'm going to have patience. I'm going to be faithful. Even whenever I don't want to be, I'm going to be faithful. Why? For his sake. It's all for him. Don't do it for your pastor. Don't do it even for each other, for your family. Do it for him. That's enough, isn't it? He did it for you. He walked that hill, didn't he? Carried his cross. Took it to the hill, and he died for you and me. I think it's the least we can do to take that step. And I think that our suffering is a whole lot less than the early Christians ever, that we would ever, even for our whole life in the great United States of America. I've never had a rock thrown in at me, even at people who I'm standing at their doorstep telling them about Jesus. And they hate my guts and they slam the door in my face, but they've never shot me and they've never thrown a rock at me yet. But even if it happens, it's all for him. It's all for him. So when the going gets tough, be faithful. That's patience. Be patient. Be here. Be where God wants you to be. Father, we love you this evening, and we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have a faithful, steady endurance. And go ahead and decide now that we'll have that steady endurance in the face of trials. Lord, I know that often it becomes hard because we can't understand why they're happening. And Lord, sometimes you don't tell us why, but that's okay. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to be faithful. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.